Hallelujah. Who's here this morning? 9:30. Well, you know what? You're here. So we're going to have a time in Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your Holy Spirit that is here. Holy Spirit, you are the teacher. Father, we thank you that you teach us this morning, that you instruct us. Even things that are not said in this message, Father, you can still put it in our hearts in Jesus' name. And we give you all the praise. And everyone said, amen. So it says up here, all of me, if you can read that, all of me. And that's what we're going to talk about today. All of me, all of you. The Bible talks about what makes up a man, what we're made of, how we're created. And I found that when you actually understand biblically how God made you, it kind of unscrambles a lot of the troubles that you have in life. A lot of us are led and are moved by a lot of things in this life, and it's not actually you, but we say it's us, and we say that it's our problems, but a lot of our problems aren't us when we understand how God made us. So I'm going to introduce you to your real self today, your biblical self today, if that's okay. Is that okay, you guys? Imagine having a car with three cylinders. I think someone told me recently they have a car with three cylinders. And number one, I didn't believe them. And number two, I thought, well, you must get good gas mileage because why would you have a car with three cylinders? And don't drive on the highway because you probably won't be able to pass anyone. But imagine you have three cylinders, but you're always just firing one of those cylinders, or you're firing two of the three cylinders. You're never going to be in full mode that God created you. And the Bible says that God is a triune being, that God is made up of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And we see this triune being show up a few times in the Bible. When Jesus was being baptized, we see the Son. The Bible says Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us, born of a virgin. So the Son, Jesus the Savior, is going to get baptized by John in the Jordan. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit comes down and descends upon him in the form of a dove. So we see the Son and we see the Holy Spirit. But then it says a voice from heaven booms out and said, "This is my Son." And so we see God in that picture. So we see all three in that one scene together. So God is a triune being. He's three in one. They're all the same. When you honor the Holy Spirit, you're honoring God. When you honor the name of Jesus, you're honoring God. One thing I found out when I was talking to a Jehovah Witness before in a parking lot is they can't say Jesus is God because they don't believe he's God. And then when I talk to a Mormon, when they say Jesus is God, they only mean he's God of the earth. And that if Justin's a good, righteous man, he'll be the God of his planet someday too. Freaky, but that's what they mean, right? But Jesus is God of the universe, of all created things, not just the earth, and you're not going to have your planet. You know what? I didn't know this about the Mormons, but they believe if you're a good, righteous person, that the man will be promoted to his own planet where he'll be like a Christ figure. He'll be the God of that planet, and then he invites his obedient wives to that planet to repopulate it. So that's why you need a lot of wives, and you need to be an obedient wife, or you're not coming. sounds a little manipulative to me, but that's just me, you know? So in the same way as God is a triune being, so he made us to be a triune being as well. We're made up of three parts. We'll look here in 1 Thessalonians 5:23. You can read that up here. It says, "May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body," everyone say that with me, spirit, soul, and body, "be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." The Bible teaches that you are made up of a spirit, a soul, and a body. Now, the real you, the real one, is your spirit being, okay? Now, when a baby is conceived, God goes ahead and gives that newborn life a spirit, okay? When Adam was just made of the dust, he wasn't alive until God breathed the spirit into Adam. and you likewise have a spirit. When you get old and your body wears out and it's time for you to go home to heaven, your spirit will be the one that passes on into eternity. Your body stays here on the earth and turns back to dust, okay? So the real you is a spirit man. Say that with me, that's important. The real me is a spirit being. Okay, that's important to know, okay? So you live in a body. You have a body, but that's not you, okay? The real you is your spirit man. If you're looking at me and you see my body, you don't really see me because you can't see my spirit being, but you see my outer body. And this body is what interacts in this physical world that God made us. Not to digress too much, but when you think of demons and demon possession, the ultimate thing that a demon wants to do, which is a spirit being, is to get into a body of a human and possess them and be able to manipulate this physical world. They want to get in here and cause trouble. When I read of a man in Florida, Justin, aim him that way, or maybe this way. That was like straight this way. So, when I read of a man in Florida who eats the face off of his neighbor, I say, maybe a demon got in him and it is now manifesting in this physical world. When you see wickedness and evil at another level inside of a human being, you need to know that that demon got in and got possession and is now able to cause havoc in this physical world. Well, same with you. Your body is given to you to interact with this physical world. So you have a spirit, soul, and body. And the soul, the Bible talks about, is your mind and your will. The Bible talks about renewing the soul, about the saving of the soul. So it's your mental and will capacities of your body. But let's talk about your body first. Some people are body-led. Say body-led. Everything about their life is just they live in the body realm. They are not spiritually active. They're not spiritually alive. They're mentally dead. Their mind is just totally given over into their bodies. And when you're body-led, your body seeks pleasure. Your body likes pleasure. It likes things that make it feel good, okay? How many people know when you lost an hour of sleep because of stupid daylight savings, your body wants to stay in bed? It doesn't want to get up that extra hour early. It feels good to stay under the warm covers when you're exhausted. That's your body speaking, okay? And if you listen to your body, or if you're body-led and body-ruled, you will always go into destruction. Your body does not have a stop button. It doesn't have. It doesn't know when to stop. It will overconsume itself into destruction. And a lot of the shipwrecked lives that we see around us in this world are people who are body-led and body out of control. Okay. If you think of just food for a second, food for a lot of people. I know when I got born again, some of the things the Holy Spirit dealt with me real right off the bat was we're going to stop drinking because the Bible says that drunkenness is not godliness, that we're to be filled. Do not be drunk with wine. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. Okay? Listen, I'm not talking to you guys. I'm talking to the people on the camera, on TV. If you're someone who has created a doctrine from the Bible to drink, stop it. That is being body-led. Your body wants to be drunk. It loves to feel drunk. It loves to get a buzz. It loves to feel that way, okay? So the Bible says that we are not to lean on substances in our anxiety or in our winding down or things like that. The Bible says we are to lean and to be filled with the Holy Ghost. There was a time, listen, guys, some of you, it was a long time ago, but there was a time when you were a kid and you had a lot of fun, and you did not need to be drunk while you were doing it. There's an innocence and a joy that God can return you to that you don't have to be filled with something. That's your body that wants to be drunk. That's your body that's saying, let's go ahead and get a buzz. And just know, when I was first born again, the Holy Spirit dealt with me and said, we're not going to get drunk with wine anymore. We're going to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And I remember I smoked cigarettes. Because most people who get drunk are smoking at the same time. They just kind of go together, okay? And the Holy Spirit said to me, if you want to be a good witness for Jesus, you can't say you need Jesus while smoke comes out of your mouth and people's face. They're not going to listen to your words. They're just going to see your hypocritical smoke blowing in their face. So if you love people and you want your words to mean something, this is going to have to go. But again, your body is ruling you, you're going to end up in destruction. If we look at food, right, just the consumption of food in America, and this is a 2022 stat, okay, so we've gone a little further. It says we spend over $30 billion on diet products annually. Do you know what that means? That means people are overweight and they're spending money to get out from being overweight. Well, your body will eat itself into a 600-pound coma if you let it, okay? If you do not know this, when you eat something you like, a little endorphin goes off and goes, woo, and it feels good. Oh, there's joy in this food, right? And some people are eating and eating, and they don't know why, like, oh, why don't I just stop? But there's like, it's like a little drug, okay? And especially for Christians, if you're like me, and you're not drinking, and you're not drugging, and you're not doing anything like that anymore, well, the only thing we got left is food, right? So some of us are just taking our food drug way too much, okay? And in America, I figured it out, we spend $82 million a day $82 million a day on diet products. $82 million. That means we are out of control. If you look at the obesity rates in America over time, they've risen. And they've risen and risen and risen and risen and risen and risen. And so there are some states, I'm not saying Massachusetts, but there are some states, Kentucky, Louisiana, things like that, where obesity is like super high. That is the body going out of control. If your body led, if you let your body rule your decisions for your life, you're going to end up in trouble. Absolutely. Cigarettes, caffeine, marijuana. Listen, just because marijuana is legal doesn't mean that's permission for you to go get high every day. That is the stupidest thing I've ever heard on earth. People who are high are super content. Yeah, I'm good. Oh, good, right? They're just like happy, right? I'm good. No drive for success. No hunger. No fight left in them. It's like if I just sit on my couch and eat ice cream and pizza and laugh, I'm good. How many people know that that's a demonic body-led trap for to shut down your life, okay? I'm 18 now. I can drink. No, it doesn't mean that. Like, sometimes we'll be watching a movie and it's rated R, and I'll say to people, that's rated R, I can't see that, my mother won't let me. They're like, what do you mean? What do you mean your mother won't let you? It's like, it doesn't matter what age you are. I'm just saying that to be funny, but it does not matter what age you are. You need to be able to say what you can and can't do based on the word of God, not based on what society says you can do. I'm 18, you can go ahead and drink. You could go ahead and gamble now. You can go ahead and buy marijuana. No, you shouldn't. Not if the Word of God says that is a body-led decision that's going to drive you into bondage and over an excess, you do not need to do those things that your body wants. For me, not that I preach this, and I don't think this is an important thing. There was, I don't even know, it was maybe a year and a half ago or something. I would wake up and I would pour a massive cup of coffee, right? Like I would get the biggest cup you could. It was probably like a plant holder with a handle on it, and I'm not making it up. And then I'd fill it up with coffee, and like, you know, as you go and you wake up and you pray in the morning, you pour a cup of coffee, and it just kind of like wakes you up, right? But I was finding like I was way out of whack, and like coffee wasn't like waking me up anymore, and it was having the opposite effect. I felt like I was falling asleep, and it was just, I don't know if it was like adrenal failure or whatever, it was just overdone. I'm like, I'm out of whack, right? So I stopped caffeine, And that was not fun at all. That was not super fun. I'm not talking about initial headaches and stuff. I'm talking about weeks of being in a fog and not having a way to lift the mental fog. You know, stuff like that. Everything that caffeine does. So when I finally, you know, got past that and, you know, started kind of recovering a life without caffeine, I was just like, you know what? Like, I was just going to do a reset and go back to a more manageable cup of coffee, right? Not like a tub. I like to figure out the exacts. I was probably like at 800 milligrams of like coffee first thing in the morning, where a medium coffee might have 240 milligrams of caffeine. So I'm like at 800 for the first cup, right? So just like out of whack. So for me, I was just like, wow, I'm like off it. How about just not go back? How about like live life like when I was a kid and I was high on life and I didn't need to be stimulated by stuff. I didn't need those things. So it's just like, you know, our body is driving us. It's those addictions, it's those things that drive us. If you're hooked on something, your body is hooked on it. Okay? It's not necessarily you. When I see someone smoking, you can tell they look unhappy and they might be a woman and it's drained the youth out of their face. I can tell a smoker by the look on their face. They age earlier and you know what, cigarettes do that. I'm like, it's not them, it's their body that says, I need this. I need the nicotine. You're stressed, you need the nicotine. So it's not them, it's your body. You are not your body, you have a body. You are a spirit being. The ultimate goal is that your spirit man is in control of everything, not your body, not your impulses, not your addictions, okay? So to be body-led will always lead you to be destruction. And the worst way to be led in your life is to be body-led. It's the worst one of the three, okay? Philippians 3:18 says this, "For I have often told you before and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things." To be a body-led Christian is to be someone who's totally stuck with a mind about earthly things. You're not in the spirit realm. You're not experiencing the spiritual goodness of God. You're just living in this earthly body realm, and it's not the best for you. Say this with me. I am not my body. I have a body. And it is my servant. Let's talk about the next one. The Bible says that you are made up of a body, a soul, and a spirit, okay? So the next one is the soul, the mind and the will that God has given to us. Now, some people have mastered this part of their makeup, their mind and their will, and they've become very successful. They're not even Christians. They're not born again. They don't have Jesus, and they're very successful in this world because they've sharpened their minds. They've sharpened their wills. Do you know what your will is? Your will is when your body says, stay in bed, and your will says, no, we're getting out of bed, and we're getting on with the day. Your will overrides what your body wants to do. Okay? Your mind is kind of in the middle, and we need to see it this way. You have your body screaming, excess, laziness, death, and you have your spirit man saying, Jesus, life, let's pray, let's go after the spirit. And in the middle is your decision-making process, which is your mind and your will. And whichever one is loudest is going to be the one that wins. But your mind is the one that processes in the middle. And there are people who are not born again who become very, very successful just by sharpening their mind and their will. And some people refer to their mind as a battlefield because that's where the battles are won and lost. So I would love for you as a man and a woman of God to be mentally strong. And we live in a generation of mentally weak people, okay? Again, no one in this room, just you guys watching on live stream, mentally weak people, okay? So what happens is the Spirit of God will speak to you, and you know that you need to do something, but you don't do it. Okay, here's a good one. So the Bible says that the spirit is willing, but the body is weak, okay? So what happens is a lot of Christians feel this Holy Spirit urge, you need to get up and pray. You need to get up and pray. If you are a Christian, you've felt this before. You need to pray. You need to come seek me. You need to come spend time with me. And what people do is they hit the snooze button. Because in their mind, they're losing that battle of the mind because the body rules them more than the spirit rules them. So we want to be mentally strong. Now, a lot of people, when the storms of life come, the Bible says that we're to look to the Word, we're to look to Jesus, we're to look to the rock. But a lot of us, when the storms come, we don't look to Jesus and we mentally crumble. We mentally get into a heap of ruins, okay? Say this with me. I am mentally strong in Jesus' name. Sometimes we'll get into a situation where there's a bad situation happening and it comes. And kind of the first thing that I like to do is I like to look to my spirit man. The Bible says that we are led by the Spirit. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. So when something bad happens or something, I'll look into my spirit man first and say, all right, Holy Spirit, how do we react? What do we do, right? Instead of losing my mind, right? But sometimes it'll bother my wife because I'm not reacting as you should maybe in the moment, right? But what I'm doing is I'm checking in my spirit man. I'm staying calm until I can figure out what we're supposed to do. Sometimes it's like, we've lost a child, we don't know where they are, hurry up, find them. And I'll look at my spirit man and the Holy Spirit will say, no, they're okay, they're close by. And like, you don't lose your mind. And you just say, no, they're not lost. They're, you know, the Holy Spirit says they're okay. Or something will happen and we're trying to get in touch with someone and you can't get in touch with them. And the Holy Spirit will say, no, they're okay. Don't imagine they're dead. Don't imagine something bad happened. Don't, you know, because your mind can just torment you. And so you look to your spirit and they'll be like, nope, they're okay. Don't worry about it. And then like an hour or two later, they'll call and they're like, I lost my phone and, you know, and tell you this story, but they're okay, right? So instead of losing our minds, we need to look to our spirit man. But again, a lot of us imagine the worst. Is anyone in here? Don't raise your hand. Is anyone in here a worrier? Someone who worries, okay? So just so you know this, a worrier is someone who imagines a bad future. That's all you're doing. You're not in the present. You're worrying about what could be. And you're imagining what could be. And this all happens in your mind, okay? And so worriers sometimes will tell you, Justin, you can't do that. Because if you go to Louisiana, they have a state of emergency. There's not enough police down there. People are dying. And so they'll speak your worry over your life, right? And so worriers don't do a lot of things in life. They're worried, but they're imagining a future that hasn't even come to pass yet, but they've projected fear over that. And the Bible says that worry is a sin, you guys, because it's the opposite of trusting God. So we want to be mentally strong. And some of us have been hurt in our lives and we've had some bad experiences. And so we're not going to deny your bad experiences, but how do we mentally deal with these experiences? Okay? And so some people, they call it victim identification. And again, this happens in the mental realm, you guys. It happens in your mind and your will. And victim identification is something that keeps the person bound to another person or situation or institution that hurt them. So what it does is in their mind, they can't get free of something or someone that hurt them, but that victim identification keeps them bound to them for the rest of their lives. So they're not free to live their lives. Everything has to do with this situation that happened, and they're stuck to them. And you don't want to be stuck to a negative circumstance. You don't want that to be there. But even worse, as a result, they develop a negative view of life where they feel that they don't have any control of what happens to them. Because they don't think anything's their fault, they have little or no sense of responsibility in their lives. Some of, again, no one in this room, just everyone watching online, Some people who have a victim mentality are some of the worst employees. They're the worst people to deal with. They never take blame. They always blame someone else. This, you don't understand, this happened to me. Therefore, I can't function now in the moment. We need to unhook from our pain. We need to unhook from these traumatic moments and let the Holy Spirit come and heal those things. Do you know how do you get out? This is how you get out of victimhood. It's the number one way. It's the Bible way. You forgive. There's no way past being a victim until you can forgive what happened to you. Okay? So number one, if you've been very offended, very hurt, and a real thing happened to you, you have to forgive them. Well, how can I forgive someone who raped me? How can I forgive someone who murdered my son? How can I forgive? Here's how you do it. You do it by faith. Father, I don't feel like it. This doesn't feel like, you know, like this is not like a good feeling type of forgiveness, but by faith, I release them, I forgive them, and I let them go in Jesus' name. Boom. Act of your will, mind, decision. You make a decision to forgive them. And when you do that, you get free. You unhook from that situation. That is no longer your identity. That is no longer a part of you. You are now free of that circumstance and situation. It's never going to be your excuse for why you do what you do. A couple years ago, my wife and I were driving home from Bible school, and we were in Rockland, and there's, what's the street? We're on Salem Street in Rockland, and there's this really elbowy type of curve on Salem Street. So while we're driving home, a drunk driver drives all the way in our lane and hits us head on. Right? Hits us head on. And destroys our car. Somehow their car flipped up and ended like going the opposite way in the road. My wife gets, you know, really hits her head hard. And, so that happened. So again, the whole kind of time that it took for that to happen was about 3 seconds. One, two, three, and that was it. Boom, flip, over, out, that's it. So now, after that 3-second incident, we have to deal with everything that comes after that. So the driver of the other car, they had to cut him out with the jaws of life, and as they're pulling him out, he's just super drunk and belligerent. He's swearing, cursing at the cops and the people trying to help him and things like that. And, you know, I had very, very little, you know, wrong with me. So I'm like out taking pictures of everything. Not for a photo album, but like if, you know, so that we can like determine later what happened, okay? So they're not going to try to blame us or anything like that. I didn't know they were drunk. I didn't know the situation. So I'm taking pictures. But the DA's office calls us and said, hey, this guy was drunk and this and that, and we're going to press charges, and we're going to really try to do this. Do you guys want to come and take the stand and give a victim's statement? And we're like, no, we're good. No, like, for real, like, this would be better if you came in and talked about what you had to go through after that, your pain and your suffering, this and that. We're like, nah, we don't want to. Honestly, you guys, we didn't care what this person's name was. We didn't care their background. We didn't care about them. We got to a place where we're not going to allow unforgiveness to even, like, stick to us. I know a drunk driver hit us, but we don't even care. God saved us. We're alive. We're in one piece. We walked away from it. Well, she kind of got a little jacked up, but, like, you know, things like that. Just so you guys know, the police in Rockland sat down and said, listen, you guys, I know you might not be thinking of this, but you want to get a lawyer because you're going to get a ton of bills, and then you're going to be responsible for them all. So go ahead and get a lawyer and make sure you get that covered. We got a lawyer, okay? So we don't even care who that was who hit us. We're not going to take the stand and try to see that they get 10 years to life. Like, we didn't even care. It was not a care. So we got to a place in our life where victimhood was not only not part of our identity, but we got to a place in our life where offense tried to stick to us. It couldn't even stick. Like, we didn't even care. Don't you understand that that guy did that to you? I don't care. Because I'm going to live free in Jesus. I'm going to live a life that's not stuck to it. Listen, you guys, I'm not going to let 3 seconds identify and shape the rest of my life. I am not going to do that. We're going to walk past a traumatic 3 seconds, and there was some recovery, you know, on the other side. I did get jacked up, like the car like smashed into my legs, and I was all bruised and that type of stuff. And I like to mountain bike, and I couldn't do it until the spring because it just hurt too much, right? But I'm not going to let that traumatic experience identify the rest of my life. No, we're going to walk on free with Jesus. We're not going to hold unforgiveness towards anyone because we know that's how the devil comes in and ruins our life. Yeah. Amen? So we need to be mentally strong. We need to understand that our mind is not us either, okay? Our mind is given to us from God so that we can let our spirit man rule and make the right decisions in this life. Amen? If you're someone who's like holding on to something that happened to you, if today a seed gets into you that you need to let that go, then we did good today. We did good, okay? If you had a traumatic experience happen to you, it took a minute, it took 10 minutes, it took an hour, whatever it is, don't let those minutes identify the rest of your life. For us, we're not gonna identify it. So that was a couple years ago, and I forgot, like we do have a lawyer. And we do have, like, you know, damages and stuff. And I remember, like, I contacted him, like, this week. Like, oh, yeah, hey, what's going on? Like, let's get this wrapped up. Like, it's so not part of our lives that we don't even think that. We're not thinking, oh, we're going to cash in. Listen, God is our source. Not a traumatic accident or anything like that. We're not, you know. Honey, let's go to the store today, and what you're going to do is you're going to fall when you go in, and then I'll sue. If that's your life, you cursed. You cursed. So some, by the sheer act of their will, have become very successful. They become millionaires. They possess great wealth, and they're not Christians, okay? And they've done this just by grit. It does not mean they're happy, though, okay? The ultra-rich in suicide is a real thing. The guy who you know, Snapple drink or whatever, he sold his company and became a millionaire and ended up committing suicide as well. Okay? So again, success and money and things like that, your mind and your will can bring you to a place of success, but it doesn't mean that you're going to have happiness with that success. When one's financial needs are met, listen, the pursuit of material possessions often becomes a hollow substitute for the deeper meanings and purposes of life. So when you have everything you need, it doesn't mean that you're complete, and you realize that. And so some of the ultra rich, there was an art dealer, and he might have been in New York, and he was in his 70s, and he committed suicide. And he, like, had the Picassos and, the millions and million dollars of artwork and stuff, and he committed suicide. It confuses me that anyone in their 70s would commit suicide, or in their 80s, and they do, because people are not happy. They may be successful, and their mind and their will may have brought them to success, but that's not what happiness is all about. Jesus, I'm going to assume that's laughing at something else and not that last statement. But listen here, Philippians 4:8 says this, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent and praiseworthy, think about such things. If you think about the trauma in your life, you are not thinking in lines with this. If you're thinking about all the bad things that happen, you're not thinking on this. The Bible says that your mind needs to think. The Bible says to think on those things which are above, where you're seated with Christ Jesus. Amen? So your mind is like a computer. So if wrong thoughts have been entered into your basic program, your decision-making may be flawed. So your mind, even your mind and your will, is not a good way to be led in life, okay? We don't want to be body-led, and we don't want to just be mind and head-led. We need to be spirit-led. Everyone say this, I am a spirit. I am a spirit. The spirit part of man, I have noticed, is probably the most neglected part of every human being. Okay? When I talk to an unsaved person, someone who doesn't know Jesus, even successful ones, they may have a very trim and muscular body. So they got the body under control. It is now their servant. They may have a sharp mind and may be successful in business, but their spirit man is literally dead, okay? And God has said that we are to be spirit-led beings, led by the Spirit, led by the Holy Spirit. And so being excellent in your body and your mind, you're just still running on two of the three cylinders that God made you. We need to be firing on all three cylinders. And so, it says here in John 4:24, God is a spirit, and his worshipers must worship him in spirit and truth. Have you ever heard this before, that you are created in the image of God? Okay. So when it says that, it means that in two ways. Number one, the Bible does talk about God having a head, God having a strong arm of righteousness, God having legs. You know, it does talk about him being seated on the throne. God has a figure that we look like, okay? One of the reasons why Satan hates you is because you literally look like God, okay? So you're created in this image that looks like him, but also God is a spirit, and guess what you are? You're a spirit being. You are created in the image of God. God is a spirit, and you are a spirit. And when you realize you're a spirit, you're going to start to now be focused in that spiritual realm, okay? There's a lot of things that happen in the spirit realm. God is in the spirit realm. Jesus is in the spirit realm. The Holy Spirit is in the spirit realm. Heaven is in the spirit realm. Angels, all the creatures of heaven. Healing and miracles happen in the spirit realm. The gifts of the Spirit are in the spirit realm. Prayer and worship and the presence of God are all part of the spirit realm. The devil, demons, hell are all spiritual. And you are a spirit being. For us to connect with God, our spirit man needs to be made alive. We need to spend the majority of our life letting our spirit man be the one that rules us and leads us in life. Not your body, not your mind. It says here, God has planted hunger in the heart for him in every human being. Look here in Ecclesiastes 3:11. He made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Now, again, when God speaks of heart in the Bible, he is not speaking of an organ that pumps blood in your body. God did not put eternity in an organ in your body. When the Bible speaks of a heart, it talks about the innermost being of a man. The heart of man is the spirit of man, is the real you. God said that he has set eternity in the human heart. If we look at this in the Amplified Bible, it says, Amplified amplifies the original Greek and Hebrew. He said he made everything beautiful and appropriate in his time. He has also planted eternity, a sense of divine purpose in the human heart, a mysterious longing which nothing under the sun can satisfy except God. We are not happy and fulfilled as people on this earth unless God fills that place in our heart. And some of us have stumbled through life, and when we found Jesus, what we realize is that we didn't find Jesus, that he was leading us the whole time. He was the one that drew us unto himself. And when we got Jesus, we finally felt this feeling of satisfaction that comes into our life, a feeling of wholeness because our spirit man became alive. I know I had this very unique thing happen to me. I was 18 years old when I was born again. And my spirit man became alive, and I began to pray, and I began to seek God, and there was such a divine connection with heaven. I felt fully alive for the first time. Fully alive, right? I was operating in the body and the soul, but I never had my spirit man alive. And it was like anything I ever wanted in my entire life, it felt like I had it. I felt fully satisfied. And I said, God, I feel like everything I need, everything I would want in this life, I feel like that you've given that to me in Jesus. I don't want riches. I don't want possessions. I don't want quote unquote, a career. I have you, Jesus. I have everything I need. I now lay down my life and give it to you. Whatever you want to do with this life is yours. I'm fully satisfied. Let me be a servant. Let me be a servant in your kingdom. Amen. And that's where we need to get. We need to feel the satisfaction of having Jesus be the fullness of our life. And you know what? It's as if you've accomplished every goal you've ever wanted in your life. And he brings that satisfaction. So now we can say, not my pursuit, God, but your pursuit in my life. Not my will, Lord, but your will in my life. Not my decisions, Jesus, but your decisions. That's a submitting and a consecration to the will of God. And you cannot do that without your spirit man making those decisions. Amen?
Amen.
Guys, I'm going to wrap up here. Let me just say a couple statements, then we'll go ahead and pray. Musicians, you can come up. Is it important to go to church, you guys? Yes. Why? Because it makes your spirit man strong. It reminds you who you really are. It's something that shapes you and forms you in your week that's important. Is it important for you to read the Bible? Yes. If you don't read the Word of God, the Bible says that is your food. It is your meat. It what literally builds your spirit man. If you're not strong in your spirit, it's because there's a lack of the Word of God. We need the Word of God. Is it important to pray and talk to God? Literally, it is your secret weapon. You get in your closet and pray, and then God shows you things to come. It is the unfair advantage you have as a Christian against everyone else in this life. It is amazing. How do you activate your spirit? Well, you tamp down the flesh. You shut off the desires of the flesh, the things that the flesh wants to do to destroy and consume you. And when you do that, your spirit man will begin to rise up. You need to renew your mind with the Word of God. You need to reprogram this with the thoughts of God. In every situation, you should say, what does the Bible say about this? What does the Bible say about this? What does the Bible say about this? You should ask that question. What does God say about this? And let your mind be renewed with His thoughts. When you think and you do God's thoughts, you have success in life. How do you get a sense of spiritual purpose? You put your spirit man first. You're not an animal. You're not driven by sexual desires and lust and food. That is what an animal does. You are someone who has a purpose and a call and a plan of God on your life. Every single one of you have a plan of God that God has designed before the foundation of the world for you to walk in. You walk in that out of your spirit man. Your spirit man has to take a lead. You need to let God lead you and guide you. Amen? Let me say this. I don't know everyone who's here, and I don't know your spiritual walk, so I want to pray with you. If you're someone who excels in the body, excels in the mind, but do not excel in the spirit, we need Jesus to come and to be our Lord and Savior. Sin has separated us from God. When we've sinned, the Bible says when you do wrong and know it's wrong, then that's counted to you as sin. That separates you from God. For us to become spiritually alive, we need to be reunited with God. That's why Jesus came. He came to die on the cross, pay the price for your sin, that you would be born again. Born again is your spirit man being made new. If you have never done that before, I encourage you today to pray with me. To receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, to have your sins forgiven, to be brought back to God, and to be made alive on your spirit, man. Trust me, you will never regret it a day in your life. If you do, you can find me at any time, and I will give you your money back. Oh, wait a second, it's free. It's free. It doesn't cost you anything. Jesus paid the price for it all. In a moment, we're going to pray. We're going to pray a prayer. I invite you to pray this prayer with us. You're going to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You're going to receive the forgiveness of your sins, and you're going to allow the Holy Spirit to come and live on the inside of you. The whole spirit side, there is so much I could preach for weeks just on what happened to you in the new birth and the spiritual reality of the Holy Spirit coming to live in your temple. Whoo, it's a game changer. It's a game changer. But let's bow our heads. If you've never received Jesus before, I invite you to pray. The Bible says, confess with your heart, confess with your mouth, believe in your heart, and you shall be saved. So I'm going to pray right now. I invite you to pray this prayer to God from your heart. And I'm going to ask everyone to pray with me. Say this, say, dear God, I am not a perfect person. I've messed up, I've done wrong, and I have sinned, and I need a Savior. Jesus, right now, come into my heart, be my Lord, and be my Savior. I believe that you died for me and rose again on the third day. Jesus, thank you today for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Listen, you guys, my prayer, okay, is that you leave today with just a little bit more of consciousness of who you really are. You're a spirit being. Don't be led around by your desires, addictions, things like that. Begin to say, you know what, that's not me. That's my body wanting to do that, but I'm not my body. Some people get really agitated and mad, and they go online and, like, you know, they puke on Facebook and stuff like that. That's not you. That's your emotions and your anger getting out of control. Tamp that down. Let your spirit man come up. Sometimes you need to go on Facebook and say, I know you don't know better, and I forgive you, and just leave it at that. Sometimes you don't even need to reply. Some of you need to get off Facebook and just be more happy. And be more happy. If you're reading stuff that ticks you off constantly, you might just need to stay away from that for a little while, okay? If you yell at your TV, you might have to turn off the TV, okay? Getting a little out of control. Your spirit man needs to rule, amen? So, Father, I just bless them in the name of Jesus.